Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Union Cabinet decisions. The participants are Aditi Tandon, political analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
Good evening and welcome to Spotlight. Today we delve into the landmark economic decisions taken today by the Cabinet, initiatives expected to shape the country's economic landscape.
आज बहुत महत्वपूर्ण फैसले लिए गए माननीय प्रधानमंत्री श्री नरेंद्र मोदी जी की अध्यक्षता में कैबिनेट में और सीसीए में छह बड़े फैसले हैं। छह फैसलों में दो फैसले ऐसे हैं जो किसानों से संबंधित, फूड प्रोसेसिंग से संबंधित, हमारी फूड सेक्टर में आत्मनिर्भरता से संबंधित और हमारे अन्नदाताओं की जिंदगी में बड़ा परिवर्तन लाने से संबंधित, और चार ऐसे फैसले हैं जो रेलवे नेटवर्क को और मजबूत बनाने के लिए और विशेषकर नॉर्थ ईस्टर्न सेक्टर को और मराठवाड़ा को मजबूत बनाने के लिए प्रोजेक्ट्स।
We are joined in the studio by Aditi Tandon, political analyst, who will help us unpack the breadth, goals and likely impact of these major policy moves. Welcome to Akashvani, Aditi.
Thank you.
Aditi, what motivated the government to launch large-scale economic interventions at this juncture, and how do the cabinet's decision align with the Viksit Bharat initiative and the Union Budget 2024-25 vision?
The two biggest stated objectives of Prime Minister Narendra Modi-led dispensation are welfare of farmers and expansion of the agriculture sector, which is the backbone of the Indian economy. And the second is the strengthening of the infrastructure, which is again the lifeblood of any growing economy. And infrastructure being extremely important to any goal with respect to economic expansion of India, and also the lofty goal of, you know, becoming the third largest economy as we have been projected to become. So these projects that were approved by the cabinet and the cabinet committee on economic affairs today are all aligned with the already stated objectives that have been followed by this particular government from day one. I would say as soon as Prime Minister Modi assumed office in 2014, and whatever we see in the cabinet every other week is simply an expansion and a consolidation of that thought.
Okay.
So we have, you know, two major decisions on farmers and the other four on infrastructure today.
Okay, so could you explain the significance of the cabinet's decision to allocate an additional 1,920 crore to Pradhan Mantri Kisan Sampada Yojana, raising the total to 6,520 crore for 2025-26?
Pradhan Mantri Kisan Sampada Yojana is a very important scheme that was launched in 2017 with the objective of strengthening the agro-processing sector and providing farmers with facilities to value add to their products, to their crops, to create more cold chain facilities, more storage facilities. And the idea really was to boost the quality of agro-processed foods, because they are now becoming a very important segment in the overall agricultural export basket of the country. In fact, right now, if I'm correct, as much as 20% of the total agriculture export of our country comprises the processed food sector. So that is the basic thought behind the cabinet approving a total outlay. The total outlay, of course, is 6,520 crore, which is the budgeted outlay. And there has been an additional outlay now today of around 1920 crore for this ongoing central sector scheme. So it's not a new scheme, but what has been done is additional allocation has been done. The hallmark of the allocation is rupees 1000 crore allocation to support two basic objectives. One is to set up multi-product food irradiation units, and the second is to set up 100 food testing labs. What will these two things do in the overall structure of the scheme is, the first thing is that multi-product food irradiation units are going to help farmers to protect their crops post-harvest. What is happening these days is a lot of challenges come after the farmers harvest their food. There is over-ripening, microbial contamination, sometimes there are all kinds of challenges. So irradiation facilities and units will help the post-harvest crops stay healthy and increase its shelf life. And what will these food testing labs do? These will help the products to be sampled faster and to be sampled in the more scientific manner so as to, you know, meet global standards for exports.
Okay. Let's say what the Union Minister of Railways and Information and Broadcasting, Ashwini Vaishnav, has to say about this.
प्रधानमंत्री कृषि संपदा योजना ये 2017 में स्टार्ट हुई थी और इसका सबसे बड़ा फोकस था फूड प्रोडक्शन के बाद में फूड प्रोसेसिंग पे ज्यादा ध्यान दें, कोल्ड स्टोरेज, फूड प्रोसेसिंग, इरेडिएशन, लेबोरेटरी में टेस्टिंग, सॉर्टिंग, पैकेजिंग करके वैल्यू एडिशन कैसे हो फूड में, उस पे सारा का सारा फोकस है इस पूरे स्कीम पे।
Aditi, coming to National Cooperative Development Corporation, NCDC, the cabinet approved a grant in aid of 2,000 crore for NCDC over 4 years, aiming to mobilize an additional 20,000 crore for lending. What is the intended impact of this funding on India's cooperative sector?
Cooperative sector, Rajesh, is a very vibrant sector and it is a very important sector for our rural economy. As we all know that cooperatives play an immensely significant role in socio-economic upliftment issues, in infrastructure development and overall job creation in the rural sector. And this is also the segment where maximum rural women are employed. So that is the background of strengthening this sector. Last week, Union Cooperation Minister, Mr. Amit Shah, launched the National Cooperation Policy. So in that backdrop, the scheme becomes very important because what it does is it strengthens the NCDC to improve its lending capacity to a lot of people who are involved in this cooperative sector. The government is estimating that around 2.9 crore members of around 13,200 cooperative societies, you know, across segments, for instance, dairy, you have livestock, fisheries, you also have storage and cold storage. All these sectors will be covered and this is the intended beneficiary class. When you infuse more capital into NCDC, you increase its capacity to raise monies from the market and that money then goes into the hands of the members of cooperative societies and starts expanding the rural economy through cooperative sector.
The minister had this to say about NCDC.
आप सब जानते हैं कि NCDC नेशनल कोऑपरेटिव डेवलपमेंट कॉरपोरेशन देश के कोऑपरेटिव सेक्टर में बहुत महत्वपूर्ण संस्थान है और पिछले कुछ वर्षों में कोऑपरेटिव सेक्टर में एक के बाद एक रिफॉर्म्स आते जा रहे हैं और आज जो बड़ा फैसला लिया गया, इस फैसले का महत्व आप समझिए। NCDC कोऑपरेटिव सोसाइटीज को लोन देती है, आज उसका कैपिटल 2000 करोड़ रुपए से बढ़ाया गया ग्रांट इन एड के माध्यम से। ये जो लोन्स जाते हैं करीब करीब 8.25 लाख कोऑपरेटिव्स को जाते हैं, 29 करोड़ मेंबर्स हैं जिनके और 94% फार्मर्स हैं उसके साथ जुड़े हुए। हर तरीके से उस लोन का एक उपयोग बहुत ही पॉजिटिव तरीके से होता है।
So, Aditi, as you also mentioned, the cabinet has approved grant in aid of 2,000. Given that 94% of NCDC's 29 crore members are farmers and the organization boasts about 99.8% loan recovery rate, so what lessons can broader financial institutions draw from the NCDC's model?
Rajesh, what this loan recovery rate of 99.8% shows is that our people and members involved in the cooperative sector are repaying loans so quickly and efficiently. So it speaks more about the beneficiaries of this particular development corporation than the corporation itself, because it shows that when you put money into the hands of rural enterprise, into the hands of rural cooperative members, they not only create more wealth, they also reinvest in the system, they repay loans, which is why the recovery of loan and the rate of recovery of loan by the corporation is as high as almost 100%. As you yourself said. And this is the reason that in the last 5 years, NCDC has been increasing its disbursement. Yeah. Disbursement has gone up almost 4 times. And in 2024-25, it was 95,000 crore.
Okay. So based Rajesh, on what you just mentioned, how will this grant affect credit availability and terms for cooperatives in remote or underserved regions?
See, most of these cooperative societies are located in rural and in semi-urban areas, as we know. And mostly the sectors that are covered are dairy, poultry, livestock. A lot of new cooperatives are coming up now in fisheries. Then you have sugar, textile, food. Banking already is there. Banking is traditionally the cooperative, the big cooperative movement, banking movement. Then you have cold storage facilities. So you see the point that we are trying to make is that through this increased liquidity into the hands of members of cooperative societies, you are going to expand the rural economy further. More than 13,000 cooperative societies will benefit from this particular announcement today of the Union Cabinet, and nearly 3 crore members. So you can imagine the scale.
Yeah. Rajesh? Aditi, my next question pertains to the 4 rail multi-tracking projects. And before I ask you the question, let's hear what the minister had to say about it.
इटारसी से नागपुर 4th लाइन बनाने का आज माननीय प्रधानमंत्री जी ने अप्रूवल दिया है. ये बहुत ही इम्पोर्टेंट प्रोजेक्ट है. दिल्ली से चेन्नई का जो हाई डेंसिटी नेटवर्क है और मुंबई से हावड़ा का जो हाई डेंसिटी नेटवर्क है, इन दोनों के नेटवर्क्स के इंटरसेक्शन के पॉइंट पे ये इटारसी से नागपुर वाला सेक्शन आता है. यहाँ पे कैपेसिटी बढ़ानी इसीलिए जरूरी है कि ये एक पॉइंट ऐसा जैसे नॉर्थ से साउथ, ईस्ट से वेस्ट, वेस्ट से ईस्ट, साउथ से नॉर्थ, सारी गाड़ियां इस सेक्शन से जाती. ऑलरेडी इटारसी से नागपुर के बीच में डबल लाइन है, 3rd लाइन का काम चल रहा है और अभी ये 4th लाइन आज सेंक्शन हुई.
So Aditi, the cabinet has approved 11,169 crore for the 4 railway multi-tracking projects covering about 574 kilometers in 6 states, as the minister also stated. What motivated the selection of these corridors and districts for multi-tracking?
Obviously, all these projects, the 4 projects that you just mentioned, are all on strategic locations. For instance, if you were to just look at Itarsi-Nagpur 4th line that has been approved today, it is part of the Delhi-Chennai high density network. It intersects, for instance, with Mumbai, also intersects with the Howrah high density network at Nagpur. So what it will do is it will enable faster and efficient movement of passengers as well as goods. And that will ease traffic, and it is going to help, like you earlier said, in Maharashtra, it will help everybody living in Nagpur, and in Madhya Pradesh, it will help people living in, you know, districts like Narmadapuram, Betul and Pandhurna. And similarly, if you look at the other project, which is even more important, which is the Jalpaiguri project, that's extremely important insofar as connectivity improvement to the northeast is concerned. The project that the minister just mentioned, he also said that this Alubari road, which is going, you know, Alubari road to New Jalpaiguri, 3rd and 4th line are being approved today. What this is going to do is basically improve connectivity to the northeastern states, which are falling near to the international borders, Rajesh. For instance, with Bhutan, Bangladesh and Nepal.
What you mentioned about the Alubari Road to New Jalpaiguri, 3 to 4 railway lines have been sanctioned to augment the existing capacity. And besides that, the government has also approved Chhatrapati Sambhaji Nagar to Parbhani, doubling of railway line projects with an outlay of 2,179 crores. Let's hear what the minister has to say about this.
मराठवाड़ा की कनेक्टिविटी का बहुत इंपॉर्टेंट पॉइंट है ये. छत्रपति संभाजी नगर से लेके परभनी तक का 177 किलोमीटर की सिंगल लाइन है, उसकी डबलिंग का प्रपोजल आज अप्रूव हुआ है 2179 करोड़ रुपीस के लिए.
So Aditi, what are the anticipated environmental and land acquisition challenges for these projects? How will the government mitigate them?
Most of these projects, when the Minister of Railways was asked today whether, you know, there are land acquisition challenges, he said that most of them are actually clear because they are in expansion of already existing and aligned projects. So there will be no wastage of time on that count. And most of the project will take around 3 to 5 years to complete, which is the normal gestation period for any railway project. These 4 projects approved today will improve connectivity to as many as 2,000 villages with a population of nearly 43 lakhs. So that is the broad outcome that is going to be of these particular projects.
And Aditi, on that note, we would like to thank you for being with Akashvani.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on Union Cabinet decisions. The participants were Aditi Tandon, political analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.